I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Sunday, December 27th, as we release this. It's our early odds look ahead special. We used to do it only on YouTube. So beloved that we decided to roll it out in podcast form as well. Joining me to break down some week 17 lines, the craziest gambling week of the year. You need to be ahead of things. If you know if teams are going to sit players, if they're going to rest guys, if you know motivation, you can get ahead of the curve. And that's what we're going to do here. You can certainly window some games. Joining me to break it all down, John Breach. What's up, Breach?
Brinson, you hit it. This is the most bonkers week of the year. I have been looking at the permutations, the formulas, ignoring my family, trying to figure out what I need to know for week 17.
Well, let's dive right in with the maybe the most important game of the week. I can't tell, but I'll tell you this. Vegas, the folks at William Hill, who we get the odds from, our partners, our pals there, they think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are resting players because they have installed the Cleveland Browns as a 7.5-point favorite over Pittsburgh in this game. I just looked a second ago. I believe it is down to 7. But still, Cleveland, who must win to get in, cannot win the division, a 7-point favorite at home against the Steelers. Do you think this means we'll see Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin rest their players?
This is one of those games where you kind of have to guess. If you think that the Steelers are going to play their starters, then you should be jumping on this number right now. And the thing is, it is hard to say what they're going to do because the thing that makes me think they could rest their starters is that, look, this team didn't really get a bye this year. The week they were supposed to have it, the Titans COVID situation came up, and then they were supposed to have that 10-day break after playing on Thursday on Thanksgiving against the Ravens, but then that got pushed back. So they kind of got screwed out of two byes, basically. And so this team hasn't had any time off. They're banged up. I could see Tomlin saying, you know what? I don't care if we get 2, 3, or 4. I don't care if we lose to the Browns. I'm resting everyone. I'm getting healthy for the wild card round. Now, that being said, you don't want the 4 seed because if you lose to the Browns, you end up as the 4 seed possibly because then you're playing the Chiefs in the divisional round. So blah, 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 blah. I'll cut to the chase here. I do think we will see some starters on the bench, but you know what? This is the Browns. No one knows how to flop and blow things like the Browns. I could see them absolutely losing this game, but if the Steelers have players on the bench, I think the Browns win, but the Steelers cover 7.5.
Mike Tomlin, after the win over the Indianapolis Colts to seal the division, coupled with the Browns, didn't even matter if the Browns lost, said, asked about sitting players, said, we'll ponder those possibilities in the morning. Tonight, we're going to wear our hats and t-shirts. Reminder, in 2017, the Steelers were locked into one of the top 2 seeds. They then went and rested their players despite being 1 game back of the Patriots to potentially get that number 1 seed because they didn't think the Patriots would lose. Understandable. You want to get the rest. You want to get the bye. So that's something he's done before. We've seen a precedent set here by Mike Tomlin. It's entirely possible that he rests guys again in 2020. And I agree with you, Breach. It does seem likely that they would say, look, we're not going to get a bye in the 2 seed or the 3 seed. As long as we do the math and we can avoid Kansas City in the second round of the playoffs by not getting the 4 seed. And then it's not even guaranteed you to avoid them anyway. That's just how it works out, but you don't want to be the 4 seed. I agree with you. I think they'll probably rest some guys and say, we need to get Big Ben. Like, we don't want Big Ben throwing the ball 50 times. Maybe they play a quarter. I don't know. We'll see. Wouldn't be surprising at all if they rested guys. And that's why Cleveland is such a hefty number. If you, for some reason, think the Steelers are playing everybody the whole game, because they want to get that second home playoff game, by all means, hammer the Steelers +7 because that's pretty good value. I'm not laying 7 with Cleveland, even against Mason Rudolph. They just lost to Sam Darnold. Like, they can screw this up, as you point out. It's not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. So I would lean Steelers there with the points, thinking you'll probably get a better number later in the week. Ravens, -11.5 at the Bengals. The Ravens are in a must-win situation. Is it Brandon Allen? Is it Ryan Finley? Are these the guys who can save the Colts? Could Ryan Finley rise up and save? No, probably not. But the Bengals, winners of 2 straight, breach, huge dogs at home. They've played spoiler in this role before. Are you surprised?
Yeah, they have made the spoiler role famous, especially against the Ravens in Week 17. We saw Andy Dalton do it when he sent the Bills to the playoffs a few years ago. Everyone in Buffalo remembers that. And you know what here? This is a lot of points. The Bengals have won 2 games in a row. They beat the Steelers. They beat the Texans as a 7-point underdog. And Brinson, you want a crazy stat? The Cincinnati Bengals are 16-4-1 against the spread over the past 10 years in games played in Week 16 and Week 17. Final 2 weeks of the season, they are covering machines. Doesn't matter if it's Brandon Allen or Ryan Finley, they each won a game in the past 2 weeks. I do not think the Bengals are going to win this game, but it's a division rivalry. They play the Ravens tough, could get a little bonkers. I think the Bengals cover here.
Yeah, it's possible the Bengals play the role of spoiler. I don't know though, man. The Bengals defense, look, they did a great job going up against Houston, but they still hemorrhaged a ton of yards and points to Deshaun Watson, to David Johnson, to Brandon Cooks. They were not able to slow down the Texans at all. And Baltimore is just as good offensively right now as Houston is. In fact, even maybe more dangerous because of just how aggressively they're running the football. This feels like a spot for Lamar Jackson to go off in Week 17 to remind people how scary the Ravens are, and the Ravens are substantially better than the Texans are on defense. So I will probably take the Ravens here. They've been clobbering bad teams. I know the Bengals play spoiler, but I think the Ravens are just a mismatch for a Cincinnati team that needs to be playing somebody who's bad on defense, or the Steelers in apparently Monday Night Football. But understandable that you would take the Bengals there, and I'm not surprised by it. Jaguars at the Colts. The Colts, oh my Colts. They're in trouble. They have to win this game against the Jaguars and need one of Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, or depending on what happens on Sunday Night Football, Tennessee, to lose in order to get into the playoffs. It is a tough spot for Indianapolis. They can't come out flat, although I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a hangover after they gagged away a huge lead to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Do you like the Colts as 14-point favorites over the Jaguars?
You know what, Brinson? The Jacksonville Jaguars are 1-0 against the Colts this season and 0-14 against everyone else. This is actually a fascinating game. I think this number is way too huge. You look at what Jacksonville's done against Indianapolis, 7-3 straight up the past 10 times these teams have met, 8-1-1 against the spread. And obviously, like I just mentioned, they beat them back in Week 1. And you know what? Jacksonville already has the number one pick locked up, so they don't have to tank anymore. They could actually try to win this game. Doug Marrone could throw the kitchen sink at the Colts, and I think he's going to. That doesn't mean I think Jacksonville is going to win, but I think they're going to keep this within 2 touchdowns, because Indianapolis didn't look good in the second half against the Steelers. They didn't look good in Week 1 against Jacksonville. I think the Jags keep this close and cover but lose.
I will take the Colts here, and I think the number is too low. Indianapolis looked awful. Pittsburgh played really well in the second half. They were slinging the ball down the field. They haven't done that in like 6 weeks. I don't know where that came from. Apparently Big Ben gave some motivational speech at halftime. He was like, nobody's having fun out there, gosh darn it. And everybody started getting downfield. And he started winging the ball around. I honestly don't know where it came from. The Colts were stifling the Steelers the entire first half. Then you could just feel that onslaught coming on. I do think that when you look at Jacksonville, I mean, Mr. Trubisky and David Montgomery just did whatever they wanted against him. I don't think Phillip Rivers is just going to light up the scoreboard here, but I do think they'll feed Jonathan Taylor a ton of balls. He's going to run the ball down the throat of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you see the Indianapolis Colts win this one in pretty handy fashion. 14 is a ton, and I don't know that they'll run the score up per se, because that's not really what the Colts do, and it's much to their detriment on Sunday. But I don't know if I can take anything with the Jaguars getting points here. They just are a bad football team, the worst football team in professional football, actually. Cowboys at the Giants, your Cowboys, the Breach Bot 2000, 3000, still, you got a gray shirt on. That's the Cowboys. The Cowboys are still alive in the playoffs. Now they need the Eagles to beat Washington. And they need to beat the Giants in order to get, take the division down. But things are kind of shaking favorably their way. Andy Dalton playing really well. Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, huge games. All three of them had huge games on Sunday. And now the Cowboys are a pick 'em at the Giants. Your thoughts, Breach?
Brenton, my thoughts are that I have been riding the Cowboys bandwagon all year. I refuse to get off. I am the president of the Andy Dalton fan club. And as you said, Jerry Jones paid enough money to have me turn into a half cyborg gnome as the Breachbot 2000/3000 who always picks the Cowboys. Now, you know what? That didn't work too well at the beginning of the season because they started off 0-8 against the spread. Last seven games, they're 5-2 against the spread. They've won three straight games. This team is hot. As you said, Andy Dalton's gotten comfortable in this offense. Michael Gallup had a huge game. And you know what? The first game Andy Dalton ever played for the Cowboys, it was against the Giants after Dak Prescott got injured. He came out, worked some of that patented Andy Dalton magic that I love to see, and led Dallas to a 37-34 win. I think he's going to do it here. I am going to take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys here as well. You know, this Giants team is beat up. Daniel Jones came back, played against Baltimore, didn't do a whole lot. Obviously, that's a much tougher defense than what Dallas will offer. But I think that what you've seen from the Cowboys is a willingness to throw the football and to, I can't believe I'm saying this, but feature Andy Dalton. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're like, they went away from, now they got lucky because Fletcher Cox went out in that game against the Eagles and the Eagles defense just crumbled. Dallas took off. If they try to run against the Giants and just feed Zeke Elliott in that game, I think they'll lose. If they're willing to let Andy Dalton throw the ball and be aggressive, throwing the ball early and often and utilizing Gallup and Cooper, avoid James Bradbury, get it to CeeDee Lamb. These are your weapons. Get the ball in their hands. I think they can beat him. I don't think the Giants can keep up. And I think we could see Dallas turn Daniel Jones over once or twice in that spot. I would also take the Cowboys here. Obviously, motivation, not a concern. Both teams still in the playoff hunt, depending on how this shakes out. And of course, depending on how Washington does against the Eagles. Washington's still the leader in the division, but they are headed to Philadelphia to face an eliminated Eagles team. However, Dwayne Haskins benched in the second half of an embarrassing loss to the Panthers on Sunday and then refused to speak with the media members and could not be tracked down by Washington PR to ever talk to media members. So there's a lot going on there. It does seem like he might just be like, nah, I'm out, and let Taylor Heinicke play against the Eagles on Sunday. But I don't know if that's a bad thing, Breach.
In Haskins' defense, I will say apparently the story there is that the Haskins thought he could go home because Heinicke was going to be speaking to the media. And so he didn't think he had to. And he was driving home. They couldn't get a hold of him because he's driving the car, being smart. Then he did do a Zoom call with the media from his house in the most 2020 move ever. But as you
from
said,
from the strip club.
There's no better place to Zoom than from the strip club. Obviously. Every other place is better. Okay. But Brenton, look, we don't know who the starting quarterback's going to be for Washington. Is it going to be Dwayne Haskins? Is it going to be Taylor Heinicke? Is it going to be Alex Smith? We have no idea. But for me, it actually doesn't matter. I'm taking Washington no matter what. And here is why. It's their defense. It's their defensive line. Jalen Hurts going against that line. I think they are going to eat him alive. He struggled against the Cowboys defense. Cowboys have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. If you cannot score points on the Cowboys, you are not going to score points on Washington. I think this will be low scoring, but I think Washington ekes it out.
Yeah, if Jalen Hurts is forced to drop back and throw 30 or 40 times, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. He'll take a lot of sacks. He'll hold the ball a little too long. And he's got quite a little bit of a bad fumbling habit. So I could see Washington generating some turnovers inside the red zone. With the Eagles backed up, I could see them really limiting what Jalen Hurts does. Doug Peterson has done a nice job calling plays. Hurts has looked really good. But I will take Washington here as well. I think they can go out there, win on defense. They should get Terry McLaurin back. You almost wonder, did they take it easy with Terry McLaurin in this game, sitting down and saying, look, we got to have him for week 17 because it doesn't matter week 16 would be great to win. We can eliminate two teams, but we got to have him for week 17 because that's a must-win game. And so I tend to think that it's possible they decided to do that, and ultimately they will get him back and potentially win the division, which would be quite the story. Cardinals at the Rams. Loser leaves town match, maybe. Not necessarily. The Bears win. And if the Bears win, then this becomes an elimination game. Because the Bears would be in and the loser of this game would be out. Huge game. The Rams, according to William Hill, are favored -5. I would guess that that line shifts pretty dramatically, Breach, and maybe off the table, because according to reports from NFL media, Jared Goff has a broken thumb and is unlikely to play. What number do you think this reopens at if you had to take a gander? Yeah, it's off the board now.
Well, it's a funny thing because taking Jared Goff, I don't think it's going to hurt the Rams as much as people might think. We've been questioning Goff all season and how pivotal, how much he means to this Rams offense. I think it will drop to probably 2 or 3. It's a quarterback. You lose a starting quarterback. It's definitely going to drop. I still think the Rams will be favored. I think that number goes down to 2 or 3. You think it goes down more?
I think the Cardinals will be slight favorites in this game.
I think the only reason to me that the Rams stay favored, it might even drop down to 1, is that it is in Los Angeles, number 1, and the fact that Sean McVay has never lost to the Cardinals in his coaching career. He is 7-0 straight up. He is 6-0-1 against the spread, and that's not because of Jared Goff. That's because he knows how to attack the Cardinals' defense. He knows defensively what you need to do to slow down Kyler Murray. They swept Kyler Murray last year. They beat him once this year, so 3 of those 7 wins are against Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. And so I think McVay is kind of key here. And obviously, we know nothing about John Wolford, the Rams' backup quarterback. He has never thrown an NFL pass.
AAF superstar.
AAF superstar might come in there and be the next Tom Brady. He might Wally Pipcher. What if we got? We have no idea.
We might have Carson Wentz 2.0 on our hands, where all of a sudden his contracts and Jared Goff's contracts and albatross. I do agree with you though. Like the matchup for the Rams, you can put Jalen Ramsey on DeAndre Hopkins. And then Aaron Donald is just a thorn in the side of Kyler Murray. If the Rams had done anything offensively against the Seahawks on Sunday, they would have won that game. Their defense did a great job holding up into the bargain, and the offense just could not get going. I think they'll be able to do a little bit more offensively. I hope that it becomes Arizona favored and we can flip that and take the Rams. So obviously there's a whole lot of moving parts in terms of week 17 lines. Make sure and listen to the podcast every day. It's in your feed. You can check it out. We'll have updates on injuries, what the lines are doing. We'll be talking about it throughout the week. For John Breach, I'm Will Brinson. See you guys later.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.